From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Potbread with me, Eric Wiltshire, Rach Down Under up there in that Death City, and Lee Banks over on the Zit of the Nose of Europe. I hope you enjoyed that last little piece with the offshore. Did you cry again, Rach?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Yes, I did, and I I don't know if I need even go on. But I will.
Oh, good girl.
It's a psycho nightmare blues by His Royal Bobness.
Right. Yeah. What's the significance of that?
What we were just talking about.
Oh, what, motorbike music?
Motorbike music, yes.
No, it's not motorbike music.
Do you? Are we going to do this show or not?
I think we should. Poor old Marianne Faithfull has been treated for a spinal injury, bless her. The singer and actress, Marianne Faithfull, is recovering after breaking a bone at the back of in her back in an accident. She was once upon a life forming or famously dating Mick Jagger. She's just one of those survivors of that hippie sort of cult area.
And she made a film called Girl on a Motorcycle.
Which, as the DJ cliche tenuous link comes in, was, of course, a film made by Ronan O'Reilly, the founder of Radio Caroline, that you've just been listening to.
What? He made that film?
Yes.
Ah, I think you're making that
up. Life stuff.
You look it up on OMI thingy, whatever it's called. Now.
Right, well, man, I'm going to look now. Right. And you better be right.
www.mythingy.com.
That's
helpful.
That's one. Yeah, .org.com.net. Anyway, yes, and I think the story goes along the lines he famously sold his rights to it at one point before it became a cult movie, so that he didn't really make a lot of money out of it. But there you go.
What's his name?
Ronan O'Reilly.
Oh, hang on, I've gone to YouTube.
Uh-oh.
Girl on a Motorcycle, 1968. Jack Cardiff. Writers were Ronald Duncan. Sorry.
That's a writer.
What did he do?
He was producer or director. Producer. Yeah.
The director was Jack Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
Producers were... They don't mention the producers, Eric. Oh, don't mention him.
Oh, that's probably because he sold the rights, Lee.
He sold the rights, so he wouldn't be...
Go on, yeah, we'll let you off the hook.
Thank you. And anybody else that wishes to, please write to Lee at the usual address, dummyland...
.com.org.net.
Right, we're going to be serious for a moment now because we had another request, very dissimilar, it has to be said, to that which Ricky's got a problem with at the moment. And you'll see on the notes that we put on script for you every week, go to your local bathroom store. The internet could be money down the toilet if you're not careful. Lee's got the story.
Well, yes, ladies and gentlemen, I was asked to do this because of my smattering of the German language, considering this chap we've got to discuss is actually based in Berlin and running a very, very, very exclusive, apparently, bathroom store. Mm. I have to say there has been, since last time we spoke on this, there has been a development. I've actually spoken to him, but I'll tell you about that after. And he's actually going to come back to us on Tuesday.
Really?
But I'll fill you in with the background. If what appears to be the case, this exclusive bathroom store called Mobili Design, Mobili Design Deutschland of Streetstrasse 63A, Berlin, could be causing a lot of problems for its customers. One of our listeners, a very nice young lady, I have to say, who Eric and I know well, approached Mobili Design Deutschland to purchase some bathroom fittings. Now, they're very good quality. These fittings are very good quality and advertised on Mobili's site.
It does look good, doesn't it, Lee?
Yeah, it does. The actual materials, the actual stuff that they're selling, the products are really upmarket and are of an Italian extraction. and are really well known. You can buy them in America, you can buy them all over the world. And this chap, who did actually refuse to give me his name,
Egypt.
He's advertising them on the web, mm-hmm. And our friend went to him, and or albeit through the internet, and gave quite a few hundreds of pounds,
thousands even,
to deliver these bathroom products to her. That was back in March, and she's still waiting.
Right.
So, anyway, we thought, as RTI and Postcard from Poprad, we'd have a look into this. And this is what we discovered. The on the site, it says, we have a small but select exhibition of bathroom vanities on display in our Berlin office. Please be sure to make an appointment and visit us.
Mm.
Well, the problem is, I don't see how he can have an exhibition of bathroom vanities, as he puts it, in his Berlin office.
He's got a bathroom!
Well, he could be. He could tell you to see his bathroom in his apartment, yeah. Because that's what it turns out to be. It's a block of flats!
Uh-oh.
Now, I only saw it on Google Earth. Now, he might have an exhibition outside the back or something like that, but on the face of it, his offices are a block of flats.
Right.
So we carried on, making a few inquiries into what happened. And here's a strange thing. What very often you do as a journalist when you're trying to find out about people is you phone up a neighbour. So we phoned up one of his neighbours. We found the name and the number of one of his neighbours and just asked about Mobili Design Deutschland. And this is what's happened. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong in this. This bloke might just have had a weird sense of humour. But he just went in that very dramatic way and hung up.
Uh-oh.
Well, again, that could be nothing. That he might just not like him. They might be friends. They might be enemies. We have no idea what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So then we carried on looking into it, and we found other people who were saying that they had also gone to Mobili Design to buy designer kitchenware or bathroomware, mm-hmm. and had also not received any of the things that they'd ordered. Now, at the moment... I've only found three. There's a young lady called Evelyn Wagner.
Wagner, dear.
No, in German. I in German, it's Wagner.
Okay.
Like that. She says, caution, Luxury Vanities is not a reputable company. Well, I'm not sure she can say that because she can't actually prove it. But she is that angry with them that she says she's actually she's taking them to court under suspicion of fraud. Now, again, she might have got that wrong. She might be talking about a different company, but it's sad that that this poor company gets dragged into it. There's another one, Marion. She says, caution, caution, caution. Ordered my furniture on the 2nd of the 11th, 2012, and we haven't received it. We can't get the parts we need for it. All sorts of things. There's another one. So what we did, we started to phone Mobili Design. And we couldn't get a reply all week. Then, finally, this morning, about an hour and a half ago, somebody picked up the phone. Now, in my best German accent, and in my German, like, word thing,
yeah.
I said, Entschuldigung mir, bist du die Owner of Mobili Design? He said, eh? I said, do you own Mobili Design? And he said, I don't speak English. Me speaking English nicks, he said.
Right.
And so I said, well...
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, he was just trying to sell you a second-hand car in German.
I was, actually.
Yeah.
You have no idea. Du bist mein kleiner Kartoffel. Du bist mein Spiegelgesicht. So, anyway...
Nera Zimie, Pantolinski. Thanks.
And anyway, so... Considering that he couldn't speak English, right, and had no idea what I was saying, he then said, when I said, well, is there anybody there who speaks English? And I said that in English, not in German. He said, there'll be somebody here on Tuesday.
Oh, right.
So, we've now made arrangements with him in his non-speaking of English, in my non-speaking of German, to phone him up on Tuesday and talk to somebody who can speak English.
Yeah, but Lee, I have a question. His website's in English.
That was the other thing. So what I actually did, because it was in English, and not bad English, I would say, I would dare to say, better than some of the English on this programme. Ha, ha, ha. And I tried to contact the people who designed his site. I don't actually have the name of that company with me at the moment, but and it was really strange because whenever I went to their website, and Eric will be able to explain more what this was, I just got a thing flashed up on the screen saying due to the number of abusive whatevers from this site is no longer available. Mm. So that sounds a bit strange as well, doesn't it?
Yes, and then you tried to get hold of the police, didn't you?
Well, I then looked at the other addresses for this company, and one of them was in Marble Arch in London, in Grand like Almighty. So I checked that out, and do you know what?
What?
When you go to their Marble Arch offices in good old Blighty, you end up back in Berlin.
Right.
You just followed up, Rachel.
Anyway. Is it like an Alice falling down the rabbit hole kind of a situation?
Yeah, that sort of thing. So, as Mr. Eric, who's not had his name mentioned for the last 7 minutes, I must drop it in Eric any time. Right. And, I telephoned the Berlin police. And they are coming back to me. They have said in very nice, very, very pleasant English, that they can't give me any personal details about this company or the owners of this company, but what they can do and are happy to do is confirm or deny if this they are investigating or they have in the past investigated this company.
Good.
So they're going to come back to me probably today, if not at the beginning of next week on that. I hope Moberly Design are not being naughty, and they've just made a mess of this order. So if they send the order to our friend, they know who she is, and the police come back and say, no, they're good eggs. We'll tell the world that they're good eggs.
We'll give them a round of applause.
We'll
give them a round of applause. Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll have them.
Yeah, right, we're having you. good luck with that one. Thank you for that, Lee. And don't forget, you can do the same thing. Get in touch with us, and we are happy to fight your corner. New law, if you're thinking of going to the UK, be careful, because what is known as tailgating and lane hogging is now a finable offence in the UK. Do they tailgate and lane hog in Australia?
Yes, they do, and it's really irritating, and it's dangerous. And there is, if the police are nearby, they will pull you over, and you will get a fine.
Really?
I don't think you get any points for it. I'm pretty sure you don't get points for it, but I'm pretty sure it's a nice hefty fine. It's also a really funny. We're really funny about lane changing and tailgating here. If you are driving on if it's a dual lane carriageway.
Mm.
And you are not overtaking somebody, you have to stay in the left lane, otherwise you do get pinged and you do lose points. So, I mean, you know, it should be done. It's dangerous. It's really dangerous, tailgating.
In the left.
Very dangerous, especially if it's wet or icy.
Oh, sorry, I was confused there for a minute, because you're like Lee, you drive on the wrong side of the road.
No, we drive on the correct side of the road,
because yeah, we drive on the left.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
How many people live in Australia, Rachel?
23 million.
23, and then there's 60 million over here. Uh-huh. So that's 83, 90 million people, isn't it, roughly? How many people live in Slovakia?
Four.
About five and a half million.
About five and a half. So 87 million people, can't be wrong.
What about Germany, the Czech Republic, Scandinavia,
Germany.
Belgium,
Germany.
Holland, France?
They're all Johnny Foreigners.
Yeah, right.
You, where did you grow up? Where did you learn how to drive, Eric?
In the UK.
In what nation? There you go. So zip it.
See? Oh, right.
Exactly.
Ooh, get you lot. Anyway, seriously, boys and girls, a piece of public broadcasting sort of stuff. If you are going to the UK, or if you haven't seen the news in the UK, if you're sitting in the overtaking lanes and there's no reason for you to do that, there's an on-the-spot fine of £100 and 3 points on your licence. And that goes for tailgating as well, whereby you're sitting too close behind a vehicle in front of you. And there used to be a rule, like, it used to go tick tock one, tick tock two, tick. What on earth is that noise here?
Is that at your end?
Yeah.
Well, see,
hang on, excuse me. I'm going to do a little Slovak. Press there! That'll do. Oh, it's worked.
Oh, joy.
I just told
Can I just say something on this tailgating thing?
Yeah.
What amazed me, I didn't know until today. Did you know it wasn't illegal to tailgate in England before?
No, it wasn't.
Or hog a middle, or to undertake, yeah. But there is something our ladies and gentlemen should be very aware of. There is a new road scam taking place in Britain that's only just been spotted by the Metropolitan Police.
Yeah, well, hang on, I know that one, but we'll come to that in a second, because we will do that. But what the other thing that people should...
Should we have it on the list that I didn't know?
No, but I was going to bring it up anyway, because it just happened. But with the legislation that's just come in, the new legislation... other things like using a mobile phone, holding it in your hand, or not wearing a seatbelt, not driving without insurance, all those areas have been increased as well. So if you are using a mobile phone, it's instantly 160 quid. If you're not wearing a seatbelt, it's instantly... sorry, I've told you that wrong. I do apologise. The phone's gone up to 100 quid. Not wearing a seatbelt's gone up to 200 quid. And for first offence with insurance, it's gone up to £300.
And quite right, too.
Yeah.
You should have insurance. Seatbelt's a bit of a moot subject, but
No, I don't like seatbelts.
Seatbelts are funny things.
They weren't. You guys are old, and they didn't have seatbelts when cars were invented for you. So.
Oh.
I know what you say before, Erica. With you, you know, with the tailgating business, one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
That's the one.
Is two car lengths, especially if two car lengths between you and the vehicle in front of you.
Yes.
And you can tell by picking a landmark on the side of the road, and when the back of their car goes past it, you go one Mississippi, two Mississippi, and then the front of your car should go past the same landmark.
That's the one. Thank you, Rachel.
Adequate distance between the first and second vehicle.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Thank you very much indeed.
That
was very good.
I'm here to inform.
Eric.
This is public service broadcasting. My word. Yes,
Eric.
Yes, Lee.
Nothing, I don't have anything to say.
There's a police car somewhere.
No, your name's not just been mentioned for ages, I just thought I'd chuck it in.
Who's got a police car going by?
I haven't got a police car going by. Got a police car going by. I haven't got a police car going by.
No police car's here.
It's here.
Must be you again.
He's hearing
it's me again.
He's hearing it again.
Oh dear. Anyway, moving along, there's another road announcement this week, Lee, as well.
Is there?
Yeah.
What, the one I was going to talk about and you stopped me?
Yes, because I was going to do the fines bit first, you see.
Oh dear. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, here we have a postcard from Poprad First that Eric's made a mess of. Eric,
thank
right?
You.
What's happening in Britain, ladies and gentlemen? This is really scary. Britain is known for having very polite drivers. So, when you're about to come and turn right or left out of a corner, very often in Britain, quite truly, what happens is the driver on the main road will slow down, flash his lights at you to allow you to join him in the carriage when we all move along happily together and we smile at each other, wave and shake hands and things like that. It's all lovely. What's actually happening now is, as you're sitting at that junction, a nice, polite driver will flash his lights at you to let you out. You wave at him, say thank you, move out, and then all of a sudden he puts his foot down and crashes into you. And that is a major insurance scam, which is costing, which is estimated by the Metropolitan Police to be costing insurance companies, i.e. us, we're having to pay it, right, £390 million a year. That is terrifying.
Ouch. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to rush through a few news items for you now, because we're already starting to run out of time. The daredevil who parachuted into the London 2012 Olympics, Mark Sutton, he's died. Very sadly, it was a tragic sort of case that was. And also, we want to share our condolences with the people at Sky News, because Mick Dean, who's been with Sky for 15 years now, and left his wife and two sons behind him, was killed in the violence in Cairo, and I can assure you that Mick was known as one of the consummate professionals. He was a wonderful cameraman. I've spoken to a couple of people about him who've worked with him, and he was just, you know, if you got Mick, you kind of like went, whew, yeah, that's good. It really is good. And sadly, he was killed in Cairo. Also, the Pussycat star actress has died, Barbarella Cotton. And one that we've forgotten to put on the list was who, Rachel?
Edie Gourmet.
Oh,
that's right.
That's passed away at age 83, and she was famous for Blame It on the Bossa Nova.
John Brooks, the drummer with the indie band The Charlatans, has died at the really tragic age of 44. He suffered a seizure on tour with the band a couple of years ago, has undergone several operations, but it hasn't really worked. He died on Tuesday in hospital with his family with him as well. Move on to a really tragic story. This was a very nice lady who, when she died, she bequeathed her money to be used by the government, or the state, as it was put, for something good.
That's right.
They took the money, the Lib Dems and the Tories, I think it was more one than the other, as it goes, and they said, oh, thank you very much, we'll put it into the party funds.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Really?
Yes, really.
You went sick again.
I know. I can't believe. Why couldn't they give it to the NHS to help Ricky's sister? But oh no, they put it in party funds.
I can't. Beggars belief. This story doesn't.
It really does.
I don't get it. I'm nearly speechless, and that's something. For goodness' sake.
And the we've got to say that the spinster's solicitors. Joan Edwards' solicitors are really trying to distance themselves from this. They, the will was actually drawn up in 2001, and the money was aimed at helping out the country. Actually, it wasn't a massive amount of money. It wasn't going to change the world, but it was a gesture that this woman, inexplicably, I have to say, wanted to make, and for a political party to nab it.
Mm.
That's blood money.
That is blood money. Moving along, London's come up with, or the Brentwood Borough Council have come up with a wonderful idea of how to help. So, Rach, you're going to have to put your minis. No, I don't fancy Lee in a miniskirt somehow or other.
You made me flush.
Oh. A council is considering urging taxi firms to provide cheaper cab fares for women who are wearing revealing clothing late at night to stop them being attacked on the way home.
Except by taxi drivers.
What happens if I wear my shorts then?
It's discriminatory. Yeah. And it's completely
with a little pink hanky in the back pocket.
Exactly. Yeah. Apparently,
I've got a visual now. Thank you.
Apparently, the time that Rachel and I spend on Facebook, because Lee's never there, makes us sad, Rach.
Exactly. Well, and I'm dead happy.
I did confess to being a bit of a weeper before, but I wouldn't count myself among these people, but a lot of the posts that I see are people just moaning about stuff.
I know.
Generally, it's their health. They're moaning about how miserable they feel. And I thought, well, that's just really sad, and you need to go away. Or I need to delete you, probably.
Or maybe they've got nobody to talk to, so therefore they put the message on there, which completely screws up the research.
Well, yeah, the fact is, people on Facebook don't have anybody to talk to. That's why they've all got imaginary friends.
Oh, right. You're an imaginary friend.
I know. You're a mystical concoction as well. I mean, what are you talking about, Lee G. Banks?
No, Rach, I'm a misunderstood. No, Rach, the chairman got it right once. He described me as a misunderstood genius.
Well, I don't know. I think that's overstepping.
Yeah, the word misunderstood.
Anyway, over 7 million adults in the UK have never used the internet, with a third of the elderly people. Yeah.
So I'm not alone.
Well,
So you're the one-third elderly people, then?
I'm not an elderly person. Oh. I'm a young person who doesn't use that internet thing.
.com.
You need to embrace it, Lee.
Don't need the internet to embrace it, I tell you.
We're embracing it now.
Eric!
What?
I've just not mentioned your name for ages.
As we got just a couple of minutes to go, the world is getting smart. Apparently, smartphone sales have exceeded normal feature phone sales for the first time in the April to June period. Hurrah! Hurrah!
Are we not mentioning Phil Collins?
No. Hurrah!
I don't lie with his bleach. That's a great story.
The what one?
What? The Phil Collins bleach. One?
No, the nice man, the Brazilian mechanic who's come up with this genius idea to create light with bottles of water and bleach.
Exactly. Eric, you've got a what's it on your hands. It's like the boat that rocks. You've got a mutiny. We're all blanking your story and going for our own.
Well, you've just done it now, so that's perfect. And he's another phone app that's just come out today, which I think is stunning.
Pick another.
A stunning one where this phone app, and it's on a smartphone, will actually help people with cataract problems. They can literally take this phone, put it in front of your eyes, do an eye check as if you're in a sort of surgery with tens of thousands of pounds of stuff. The portable eye examination kit is called Peak. It was developed by doctors.
Appropriate.
Very. London and Glasgow. It's been tested all over Africa, which is absolutely brilliant. And it's already saving lives all over the place.
How can it save your lives if it's detecting your cataracts?
Because you don't fall over down a big hole because you can see where you're going. And we haven't got time to tell you the story about the Brits who can now switch banks in a week as from next month, which is kind of good, and that'll get some other things. And the other thing is, lazy Brits. The number of Romanians and Bulgarians working in the UK rose by a quarter in the last 3 months, according to new figures from the Office of National Statistics, which just goes to show they can't be bothered to go to work. That's the end of it for this week. Say goodbye, Lee.
Bye-bye. I'm sorry we didn't get around to Phil Collins.
Never mind. And Rachel, say goodbye.
Goodbye, Rachel.
And goodbye, Eric. See you soon. Eric.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.